We'll bring you the November 14th, 2008 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of The Rain Report, available from therainreport.com and via terrestrial dial-up from Uddle Systems at 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This week, we introduce you to Joel Harrison, W5ZN, president of the ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. Here's a short talk he gave at the 2008 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio, this past May.
I'm Joel Harrison, W5ZN. I am a radio amateur, a ham, that still gets on the air. Sometimes a lot of people forget that when they see the ARRL president. They think it's some character that is not a real ham. Well, I like to think of myself as a real ham because I love getting on the air. I love everything. I love contesting. I love DXing. I love emergency communications. I love working on equipment, antennas, everything. There is just an unlimited number of things that you can do these days in amateur radio. And it's really great to see a lot of excitement that exists today. If someone in your local group thinks that amateur radio is dying, they certainly haven't been out of their house for a while to see what's really going on, or turned on their radio. I listen quite a bit on the air, and I love tuning around and hearing what people are talking about, hearing what their interests are, and you can tune around all of the bands anytime you want to now. You're going to still hear people calling CQ, believe it or not. A lot of people calling CQ, just wanting to make a contact with someone. You're going to hear roundtable discussions talking about equipment or talking about techniques, people that are interested in the same thing. It's all over there. People are still on the air, and that's great. It's a great thing about amateur radio. I can't emphasize enough the fact about Elmering that we really need to do in your local area. In April alone of this year, there were over 3,000 new hams. And in the first 4 months of 2008, there have been over 10,000 new hams. Now, those people got into amateur radio for a reason. They had an interest. And those are people that have a desire to learn. If you don't think that hams have a desire to learn something anymore, go around to the forums that are being held around here today. Pick a technical forum. Pick a forum that's just going to show you how to do something, and you will see a packed house. One thing that began last year and was continued again this year on the Thursday before Dayton is a thing called Contest University that Tim Duffy, K3LR, and some of the contesters started and sponsor. And that thing is packed. It's well attended. People want to learn about amateur radio. I was at my local club meeting about 3 weeks ago. A new ham showed up. He was a guy that none of us knew. Don't have any idea where he got his license or where he got interested in amateur radio, but he did have a license. He was a new ham. And he showed up to ask some of the very basic questions. What kind of a radio do I need? What do I need to do to get on the air? Give me some help. If you think back when you were at that stage in amateur radio, the exact same thing was on your mind as well. A lot of great things are happening in amateur radio. And again, if you hear comments contrary to that, they're just not looking at the numbers. They're just not seeing what's happening. And aside from that, you know, when you get outside of that realm, the average ham, as I like to say, the average ham, and I'm an average ham, I like to walk into my shack when I have some time, turn on the radio, and get on the air and operate. And that just doesn't happen by accident, because I can assure you the access that we have to the radio spectrum and the rules that allow us to obtain a license and get on the air don't just happen by accident, and they don't just stay the way they are to allow that to happen by accident. It takes a lot of work in Washington. It takes a lot of work internationally. And that's what we do. That's one of the great services that we do as an organization. We're proud to have that responsibility and to make it happen for you. One of the great things that has happened is that we've been fighting this battle with broadband over power lines for a lot of years. Now, we've tried to make it very clear we're not opposed to broadband access. Hams like access to the internet. We like broadband access. It's helped expand what we do. It's helped expand what we do more efficiently. It's helped us to communicate on a variety of subjects in some different ways. We're not opposed to broadband access, but one thing we're certainly opposed to is pollution of the radio spectrum, because without radio spectrum, we're out of business. We've been fighting this battle for a long time, and a lot of people always like to ask me, well, what have we accomplished over all of these years? Well, one very important thing that we've accomplished is the fact that the manufacturers of BPL equipment have learned to respect the radio amateurs. And they started manufacturing newer equipment that notches out the ham bands. And in areas where that has been deployed, it seems to be compatible so far with amateur radio activities. That's a plus. They would not have done that if we hadn't have put forth such an effort to fight for clean radio spectrum. It just wouldn't have happened. And that's all good, but the real problem with that was all voluntary by the equipment manufacturers. They could wake up tomorrow and decide they don't want to be so cooperative. So that's why we continued our battle to have regulations that are acceptable to us. We didn't have that from the FCC, and we followed the process to try to obtain that from into regulations, and it just didn't happen. So that was why we took the FCC to court. One of the issues that we had in taking the FCC to court was the technical basis that they used for creating the rules that are in place. They disagreed with all of our technical basis and our technical research. Completely disagreed with it. And they used some different numbers. They also hid the numbers that they actually had that agreed with the ham's numbers. Bottom line is, if you think technology or the technical basis for amateur radio is not what it used to be, I would just tell you that a few weeks ago, the United States Court of Appeals agreed that the amateur radio's technical basis was correct and that the FCC's basis was flawed. And they remanded the rules back to the FCC. Basically, we won our court battle. And we couldn't have done that if it hadn't have been for the support from all of our members. And it wouldn't have happened if we didn't have a good technical base in amateur radio. It's just that simple. Just that simple. One thing that I want to get across to each and every one of you is that you can hear some things out there today about amateur radio and that it's a dying hobby, it's a dying service, and that just isn't supported by what we're seeing today. And I would encourage you to go by and speak to a number of people today out here in the ARRL Expo area. I would encourage you to attend a lot of forums and see what's going on, and you'll see a lot of good things happening in amateur radio.
The voice and thoughts of Joel Harrison, W5ZN, president of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, excerpted from his short presentation given at the 2008 Dayton Hamvention. To learn more about the ARRL, take your browser to www.arrl.org. The RIN report is copyright 1990-2008, RAIN, all rights reserved. You are encouraged to transmit these reports in their entirety on your HF, VHF, or UHF net. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.